Well, if I happen to be missing sometime, you might just send any correspondence to me. Care of Fantastic Caverns. I'm going to be a little bit worried if Cheryl invites me into the vehicle and says, "We're going for a little ride." That's how a lot of the mafia people wind up never coming back. So I'm glad to be here today, and I'm thankful for each and every one who have found it in their hearts to come this way. And before that we go any further into the service, I'd just like to sing a little song. This kind of goes along as I was getting ready today. It just kind of came to me, you need to sing this song. And so you kind of bear with me today, because our voice might crack a little bit. We may not make it through the song. But today I am eternally grateful for the great love of God. Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away as wounds that mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Like everything this morning when we came this way, as I would sing that song, that I could get through it. And I don't understand sometimes why it is whenever that I sing about His great love, I get all tore up to think that He loved all of us enough, that He loved me enough, that on August the 29th of this month, He saved and redeemed my soul. And you know, a lot of people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and that's fine. I hope they can. But if you're looking for me, I'm not going to be in a cave. I'm not going to be doing anything else. Find the Lord Jesus Christ, and down at his feet will be a 17-year-old boy that found mercy and grace in God and in his Son alone. We're good, glad to be here today and for each and every one, and we ask that you pray for this service, that God will receive all the honor and glory that he is worthy of today. In Job chapter 11, and that's not our text, but just making a reference, in Job chapter 11 and verse 7, Zophar, the friend of Job, asked the question, can you, by searching, find out God? And I think the answer is, no. Canst thou find the Almighty unto perfection? No. Just as we go along in this life and we learn of God, we see his wonders, we feel his grace, we feel his blessings, but still there has been no one that's been able to define Almighty God. All his attributes, all of his power, all of his glory today. No one has ever been able to write it down, or to sing it, or to preach it, or to testify of it today. Now, our reading lesson will come from the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, and we're going to start with the first verse. Now, if I laugh at this first verse, don't think anything about it. I find humor in a lot of things today. But starting with the first verse, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That is Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I don't know, first time I ever read that, I laughed. I could just see that. I could just imagine that. But where else would Jesus be? Sitting with the sinners, sitting with the publicans, sitting with us as he partook of a meal with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Correctly read, this is the first down through the seventh verses of the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Our text will come out of Jeremiah 31 and 3. Where that he says, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee unto myself. The love of God did not begin whenever that he created this universe. It didn't begin whenever that he breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, nor Eve whenever that he created her. But the love of God has always been. It's not like the love of we find in the world, among ourselves even, or whatever the case might be. But back in past eternity, there was love with God. God loved his Son. God loved his son, and his son loved him. Therefore, love was in their midst. You might say today, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Yes, the Bible even says in the 15th chapter of the book of the Roman letter that the Spirit is love. So we find that they were all united together. They all agreed. And I want you to know, if there was anything inconsistent with them, we wouldn't have what we have here today. But God manifested His love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for the ungodly. They tell me that over in the South Pacific, there's a place called the Mariana Trench. It's the deepest place on earth. It's about 6 miles deep, 7 miles deep. And people will say today, well, that doesn't seem like it's very deep. I can go from here to wherever in that 7 miles. But you think about 7 miles down within the sea, what that is like. It's very dark there. My wife talked about how that in the midst of that cave, you could not even see your hand in front of your face. That's how deep and how dark that it is in this place. And there was one explorer that went down in a special type of apparatus that would resist the pressure of that depth. He said that it was some 6,000 pounds pressure per square inch. Think about that today. Doesn't seem like anything would live, but he tells us that when he was looking out the porthole, he said, I could see a creature, I could see a fish that was swimming about. My friend, that's how deep that our sin was, but my friend, God's love goes even deeper today. It goes beyond our sin. It goes beyond our need today. It goes beyond our despair and our guilt and everything that puts us down into the depths of sadness and of sorrow today. And then there is that that is the highest of all. On this earth, they say that Mount Everest is the greatest mountain, the highest mountain, and it is something like 5 miles high. But you know, even at that height, God's love goes even beyond that. And God's love overshadows all of our problems, all of our troubles, all of our fears, all of our sins today. God from above cannot be overcome by what we are afflicted with. He cannot at all. And that's what I love to preach about in the love of God. And then the far reaches of the universe, as far as they could tell, some 88 billion light years. I won't even try to go into how you calculate a light year. But there is a galaxy they think is one of the oldest galaxies. Far, far out of our reach, far, far out of our sight, away from telescopes. They were not even sure that they pinned it down, that it was there. But even in the far reaches of the universe, of what He has created, God is there. David said over in one place, if I should go up into the heavens, Thou art there. He said, if I should go down into the deep, into the depths, Thou art there. Thou art forevermore, God. And His love transcends all of that today. The height, the depth, the far reaches. And my friend, His love even transcends and goes deeper than the deepest thing that there is on this earth, and that's man's heart. He can reach down. He can look into today what is in man's heart. He knows all things. And in spite of it, God loves us. Can you imagine that? We read about the Pharisees. Jesus even loved the Pharisees. He wanted them to come to the truth. And you know, there's an old saying, buying books and buying books, and they just eat the pages and laugh. He did everything, performed all miracles, preached the depths of the law of Moses being fulfilled in him, and yet they turned him away. And you know that, of course, is the prerogative of people. You can reject him, or you can repent and believe on him. God's not going to make you do something against your will. But he will persist. He will go after you today. And God's love through redemption reaches out unto mankind today. Now, in the beginning, in the creation of mankind, man, Adam, brought sin and death into this world. Every disease, every horrible thing, all the things, my friend, that are wrong with society and culture today, God has a barrier. He has a curtain, if you will, against it. Because, you see, God cannot fellowship with sin. But, you know, there's one thing that sin didn't destroy. You guess what it is? It didn't stop the love of God. Even in spite of what Adam did, even in spite of what you and I do today, God still loves us. Now, that doesn't necessarily give us license to go out and commit sin against God. And because we're saved by grace, we can do anything that we want today. But God's love transcends all of that. We find that the Bible tells us that God sent his Son into the world, Jesus Christ. Oh, you might say, do you know there's a Jesus, a God, a Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you something. An agnostic 17-year-old boy bowed in a store warehouse met Jesus. And I want you to know that he saved my soul. He redeemed me. I didn't understand all the particulars about it. I didn't understand all the theology about it. But my friend, you don't have to go to a seminary to experience Jesus Christ today. A man that is a fool, wayfaring fool, need not err therein, the Bible says in one place. There upon the cross, the Bible teaches us today that God offered his only begotten Son. Now, I want you to know there was something that was met together there on that cross, on that instrument that he was offered upon. Mercy and justice were met together, and they were reconciled today. Justice says the guilty party must die. Mercy and grace says, let's bestow upon them what they don't deserve, and forgive their sin. And that day, my friend, Jesus Christ became the epitome of sin in the sight of Almighty God. As we sang that song about, upon his shoulders, my sin was placed. I want you to know that that's exactly what took place. All of our sin, all the sin of the world, was placed upon him. And the Bible says over in one place, he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. You know, there are things within the Bible that are almost prophetic. Whenever that we look at them and we consider them today, that perhaps we never considered before. Whenever that they sacrificed an animal to atone for the sins of Israel, what they would do, sometimes they would tether them and bind them to what they call the horns of the altar. Now, if you ever see the tabernacle in model form outside and still within the boundaries is what they call the brazen altar, and it has what they call horns. And they would tether those animals to those horns. The Bible tells us over in one place in Psalm 119:27, bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. They tell me, historians do, something new. But whenever that they crucified individuals under Roman authority, that sometimes they didn't just use the nails. You see, today, if they were crucifying a bunch of condemned criminals or whatever, sometimes they'd run out of nails. Can you imagine that today? How many carpenters would run out of nails? Very few. But sometimes the Romans just kind of took it for granted, and so they would bind them with cords in addition to the nails. And you might say, what significance is that today? Christ Jesus was bound under the altar, that is the cross. In addition to being nailed there, he was bound. And my friend, there was a picture of that that was seen in the Old Testament whenever that they would offer animals unto God. Can you see that today? There they saw those animals bound. Did it enter their mind that one day the supreme sacrifice would be tethered to the cross? My friend, I can't even begin to imagine. But I want you to know that in all of that, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We find that the Bible tells us, being therefore justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, it was there that Christ made possible that you and I could be redeemed. And in addition to that, to be reconciled unto God. He was the means by which, because of the love of God and his love, by which the man was able to be reconciled unto God. And he also tells us in one place that Peter wrote that he bore our sins. Think about it today. Every one of us that have been saved with the grace of God, God placed the sins of mankind, your sins, my sins, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We were sometimes afar off, but now through the blood of Christ, we're drawn nigh unto God. Now in the judicial systems of the world, I'm not going to pick on ours necessarily, but through the judicial systems today, it's sometimes pretty cut and dry. I mean, you're guilty and you pay the penalty. I think if you watch a Western where they have a trial in Dodge City and Matt Dillon sitting in the audience, or I don't know, maybe it's Richard Boone, Paladin. I don't know what you watch, but in the depiction of those Western court scenes, boy, you were caught stealing horses. No doubt about it, you're going to pay the penalty. And I understand maybe it's legend they hung horse thieves back then. Kind of a funny note. We had a neighbor when Shirley and I were first married, and we were talking about evolution and theory of evolution and all of that. And you know, Sarah said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know that I had ancestors who swung by their tail. Now, I had a few of them that swung by their neck. But she said, I don't know about the other. But that's how justice was. You break the law, you pay the penalty for it. And that's how man was. Mankind was guilty of breaking God's law. Well, I didn't do anything. But my friend, I want you to know you have the motions of sin within you. But yet, in spite of that, today the love of God reaches down unto each and every one of us. And I want you to know that in salvation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Salvation wipes the slate clean. And you know what also does another thing? It puts into us a new nature. Old things passed away. All things have become new. When I was saved, I didn't necessarily just run up to my best friend and my teachers and hug them and tell them that I loved them, but I saw them differently. I saw my teachers differently. I want you to know he gave me a different outlook. Now, I didn't always abide by that, but I want you to know there was a change that took place. And there is a change that takes place. And whereas that we're at enmity with God, now we love God with all of our heart. I cannot love God enough. Can you? I cannot thank Him enough. I cannot tell it enough. Now, I will try to finish this sermon because I could go all day about the love of God. But you know, it gives us a love for God. Why? Because we love Him because He first loved us. Can you imagine that today? Before that you were ever born, before that you ever came into the world, before that you were the twinkle in your father's eye, God loved you. And I believe that all the way in past eternity, He saw that you would need salvation, that you would come to a point in your life where that you felt that you were separated from God and needed a Savior. And He made provision for that. We find that not only we love God, but we love the means of our salvation today. I love Jesus. I love that song that says, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." Why? Because He first loved me. Whenever that He agreed unto what was needed to redeem us from sin, Jesus loved us. And I want to tell you this also, while He was on the cross, you were on His mind. He fulfilled it all. He paid the penalty for you. Why? Because He loved you. Because He still loves you today. You may not be saved. Jesus loves you today. You may, my friend, have gone a little bit astray from God. Jesus still loves you today. He doesn't put conditions on His love for us. His love is unconditional today. Did you know that? There's no bargaining in it. You do this for me, I'll forgive you. You kind of crawl a little bit, maybe I'll love you. No, He loves all mankind. He loves the sinner. Did you know that? He loves the individual that's down on Skid Row. He loves the individual that's lying in the ditch. He loves the individual that's in Kensington Avenue in Philadelphia, where the humanity has just dropped right down and hit the bottom. He loves all individuals. And He forgives all individuals. I want to tell you, I'm chief. Paul said in one place, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I disagree with Paul. I'm the chiefest. Because I sat back in the mob, in church, in a place in the back, made fun, mocked. Man, I can't wait until this is all over with. I can't wait till that game starts. And I'm going to miss it because that preacher is going too long. I'm going to miss the Chiefs playing. And then I'm going to miss the Packers playing. Now, it was Vikings, but I'm just using that as an example. But my friend, I want to tell you, God loved me in spite of myself. God loved me in spite of myself. We love Him because He first loved us. The Bible tells us one place that we have this hope, whereby that the Holy Spirit sheds His love abroad in our hearts. Now, we love Christ because of what He did, but do you know that He puts a love in your heart towards your fellow mankind? Now, you may not like the deeds that they do. I sat there and scratched, well, I don't watch it anymore. I just can't figure people out. But do you know what? I wouldn't want to see one of them go to hell. I would not want to see one person dredged in their sins, going to hell, going without hope, into the bitterest, darkest darkness that there is, total separation from God, in a place where that the memory burns forever. I would not want to see that. That's why I love the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and the gospel is the love of God manifested unto us today. He gives us a love for mankind. Have you ever looked into their eyes? Have you ever looked into the eyes of somebody who's a derelict? My wife got to hold a little baby. She said, "Man, I didn't know what to do with this little girl. I'm used to these rowdy boys doing this." Now, your grandson probably isn't rowdy. But she said that I just prayed over that little child. I just prayed over. I had a similar experience working down in the ghetto in a pharmacy. And in this pharmacy, they supplied meds to crack babies that had been born and went through withdrawal. And I remember that the nurse bought some of them in. Man, I'll tell you, they were on some high-powered medications because their little systems had just been just annihilated almost. Their central nervous system would never be the same. And the girls that worked down there, they always kidded me about, you need a little girl. You need to adopt a little girl. And you know, I held that little six-month-old girl in my hands and her head in the palms of my. I don't know whatever became of her. I don't know where she's at, but I prayed over her too, Shirley. I said, "Oh God, you know, the future of this child. I don't know that we can do anything, that we have the ability and the capability of doing anything, of adopting or whatever. But oh God, may your love follow this little one and the rest of them that were with the nurse that saw them." He gives us a sympathy towards mankind. He gives us a sympathy towards the sick. Reverse the role and put yourself into the hospital bed as somebody who's sick and infirm. You know, we go down to visit friends that are in the hospital in Mercy, and there's a saying that's there that just gets me every time I see it. It's from John, and it's where Jesus came to the tomb of, was coming to the tomb of Lazarus. And this scripture says, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now we can't, I don't have the power to go in and heal them, but you know, you can heal the outlook of their day and what they're going through and what they're experiencing today. Sometimes that's the best type of healing that there is. We love them. We try to encourage them. Jesus said in one place, go into the prisons, into the highways and hedges and so on and so forth, and try to encourage them. Then we love one another. God gives us a love for one another. I love you all. You say, "Oh yeah, we've heard this before." No, listen to me. Listen to me. I love you all. Christ Jesus loved you and died for you. He redeemed you. You that are saved today. And you're my brother. You're my sister in Christ. And do you know that kind of covenant, that kind of binding sometimes is even more endearing than being related to somebody? I can say that because I have no brothers and sisters. I have no mother and father. And practically have no cousins. But God has given me a love for His people. God has given me He just magnified that and signified to me that this love of God, this love of Christ dying for my sins, is to be shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Then we're to love the world. Now, we don't love the things in the world that's going on in the world. You know, I sometimes, when I ride in the car, I see cars coming and cars going, and I always think to myself, are they ready? If we all don't make it, are they prepared? Are they ready? And I know they cut out in front of you and do this and that, and I don't know if they still call it this, but young people lay a strip of rubber about a mile long and wonder why in the world are they doing that? What does that accomplish? But you know what, my friend? They've got a destiny with Almighty God. But we are to love them today as Christ loved them. He sat down with publicans and sinners. Now, I didn't say Republicans. I said publicans, the tax collectors. You love tax collectors? How many of you? I thought so. That's just the way that they felt back then. But you know what? To prove that he loved all people, guess who he called as one of his disciples? A tax collector. And I believe that it took a while before Peter and some of them kind of came to terms with that. But you know, you don't hear about them squabbling very much in the scriptures. He has loved us with an everlasting love that transcends all the love of this world. There's a song, and I'm not going to sing it, and I'm going to close, but there's a song that when we would sing it, it would just always stir my heart. And it talked about the love of God, and it talked about that if all the oceans were ink, and every individual upon the earth was a scribe by trade, and all of the heavens was a scroll to write upon. It says in that song, to write the love of God and define it, and to write all about it, would drain the ocean dry, would wear out the scroll's pen, and would fill the sky. And fill the sky. God bless you is my prayer. I pray today that if you have lost loved ones today, that they might experience the love of God that transcends all other loves, that reaches down into the depths of darkness and of sin. And the bondage in this world, people are bound today, is why they do some of the things that they do. I pray today for all of your friends and acquaintances that if they're not saved, that somehow God will grant them repentance unto life.